Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Her name means princess. She's mentioned by name in Scripture more than any other woman. 53 times in the NIV translation, that's impressive. The first time is in Genesis 11:29. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend, right here in the Faith Radio Network, we look at a different biblical character. Today, it's one of the slightly bad girls of the Bible. You know her as Sarai, who becomes Sarah. Now, what's my definition of a slightly bad girl, or for that matter, a slightly bad boy? It's someone who has a hard time fully submitting to God, which I guess would be all of us, right? I mean, we love Him, we serve Him, we worship Him, and we find it difficult to trust Him completely, to accept His plan for our lives without reservation, and to just rest in His sovereignty. It's hard for all of us. So we're mostly good, yet, if we're honest, slightly bad. People of faith, but also flawed. Well, that certainly describes the woman we're going to look at today. Genesis 11:29 says the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, at this point in the story. She was born at the top of the social ladder and lived a privileged life in one of the ancient world's great cities called Ur. You are. It was a commercial and cultural hub, a gathering place for philosophers and astronomers. About 12,000 people crowded the streets of Ur in the time of Sarai. You'd find it between the head of the Persian Gulf and Baghdad, so in other words, modern Iraq. Now, the ancients said that Sarai was a beauty, but a dark cloud shadowed her tent. Because Genesis 11:30 tells us, now Sarai was barren. She had no children. So that's doubly painful. She's unable to have children now, and she has no children. Our heart breaks for her because she's beautiful, but infertile. 4,000 years ago, barrenness, you know, was an ultimate disgrace. It wasn't just sad. It was bad. You were ridiculed by others. You were considered disposable by your husband. You can be very sure it wasn't Sarai's inability to conceive that made her a slightly bad girl. Not for one minute. In fact, the truth of it is, her childless state made room for a miracle. God wasn't displeased with Sarai. Just the opposite. He intended to be glorified through her. So barrenness would become the arena of God's life-giving action. So this story is going to end well, but oh, the journey to get us to that happy ending. Our story began in Ur, but it doesn't end there because our family is on the move. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Genesis 11:31. Well, Sarai is pretty impressive here, displaying great strength, great bravery, and a willingness to take risks. I like her already. Genesis 12:1 now tells us, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. So where would that be exactly? Because the land I will show you is not on any map. God is asking a lot of Abram and Sarai. Leave your country, your people, your father's household. In other words, leave everything you know and love. And go to this land I will show you. It's a one-way ticket. It's an open-ended journey. But then he goes on to say, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Gotta wonder what Sarai thought at that. A great nation from a barren wife, well, that's never going to happen. It's interesting how quick we are to see our limitations. And yet God is even more quick to pour out his promises. Listen to all the I wills from the Lord in this next verse. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I will, he promises. And Sarah, you see, was part of God's plan for Abram from the very beginning. It sounds like it's all about Abram, but Sarai, from the beginning, is his wife. They married very young back then, so probably from about the age of 13 on, she was his wife. And she will be part of this story all the way through to the happy end. Genesis 12:4 tells us, Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75. Here's the thing. He still has another century ahead of him. And Sarai, who's 10 years his junior, also had plenty of get up and go, which she needed because they got up and went. Genesis 12:5 says, he took his wife Sarai, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. I love how this huge journey is all in a verse, one single verse. We get no complaining, no whining. So far, so good for Sarai. Oh, but a few verses later, trouble comes. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. A lot of famines in the Bible, about 13 of them. Here's the first. No grain, no crops, no food. That's no good. So Abram headed to the fertile land of the Pharaohs. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Genesis 12:11. Also, a fair woman to look upon. Another translation says, beautiful in appearance. Is he buttering her up? Because he surely has told her this at some other time, but he's bringing it up again. Why? Because an attractive female about to enter a foreign land is certain to catch the Pharaoh's eye. And that was the problem. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Genesis 12:12. You see, adultery was never allowed. Murder, well, things happened, right? And Abram knew with the husband out of the picture, his widow would become fair game for Pharaoh, who, for the record, had one of the largest harems in all the world. So Abram told Sarai, say you are my sister. Well, it's a half-truth, because the fact is, Sarai was his father's daughter by a different mother. So Sarai was technically his half-sister anyway, a half-truth here. And yeah, I know, she was also his wife, and let's not explore that part of it anyway. Yes, she is his half-sister. But say you're my sister so that, Abram said, I will be treated well for your sake. The New Living puts it, because of their interest in you. And my life, he said, will be spared because of you. Yeah, great, Abram. What about her life? What about her virtue? Why would he offer his wife up to Pharaoh to join his harem? Why would he do that? Did Sarai's barrenness make her less valuable to him? Or was her love for Abram so powerful that he knew she would do anything to spare his life? Friends, we don't know. We don't know the answers to these things. That's always so hard for me when you're studying the Bible. I want answers to everything. And yet we must rest in the reality that God has given us what we need to know. And this story is far from over. We'll see where this deception of Abram's is going to lead him. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, just like you said, Genesis 12:14. Everyone spoke of her beauty. It's all well and good to have a trophy wife until someone wants your prize for his display case. Here's the thing. In Scripture, the mention of a woman's beauty always points to disaster on the horizon. You check me on that. You look through in the Bible when it says she was a beautiful woman. Trouble is a-coming. You ask Bathsheba about that, or Dinah about that, or Tamar, the sister of Absalom, how beauty can lead to tragedy. Sarai, meanwhile, remains silent. It's a testimony to her powerlessness. So was she mostly good for obeying her husband, or slightly bad because she consented to a deception? I'll let you decide on that. Let's see what happens. When Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. Genesis 12:15. The New Living is more specific here. She was taken into his harem. And he treated Abram well for her sake, just like he said he would. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels, which were practically how you measured someone's wealth, by how many camels they had. And now he had a lot. Genesis 12:16 gives us that long laundry list of blessings that Pharaoh gave to Abram. Now, it's interesting, you know, it mentioned maidservants. Well, the sages of old believed that Pharaoh gave one of his own daughters, born of a concubine, to serve as Sarai's handmaiden. That would be the kind of thing a Pharaoh would do. And the sages of old also believed this girl's name was Hagar, and that she was very young and strong. I mean, we have no biblical proof. This is material outside of Scripture, but I have to confess it's a pretty credible story. Next week, of course, we're going to meet the real Hagar, who will one day serve this couple in ways they never could have imagined. Nor, frankly, could they have pictured what happened next. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. Interesting, because of the wife, not because of Abram. Genesis 12:17. King James says the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. And the message simply says everybody in the palace got seriously sick. Yep, that pretty well describes it. But here's what we need to see. They weren't just sick. In the ancient world, disease was considered the direct result of sin or some violation of customs. So Pharaoh thought that a powerful deity was cursing him because of Sarai's presence in his household. And how did Pharaoh know that? Well, the only people in the palace who were disease-free would have been, you got it, Abram and Sarai, who, no doubt, were avoiding Pharaoh like, well, like the plague. Oh, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. And today we're spending time in Genesis, several chapters that we're covering, as we often do, verse by verse, and yes, word by word, through the story of Sarai, who is soon to be called Sarah. If you want to listen from the beginning, it waits for you as a podcast on myfaithradio.com, also on lizcurtishiggs.com. Just click on my podcasts. You'll find on both websites a study guide for this particular teaching today on Sarah. You'll also find a more in-depth study of this story in my book, Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible. Well, we had bad girls, we had really bad girls. Time for Slightly Bad Girls of the Bible. A new edition of that book released this very week, in fact, and the expanded edition includes a discussion question for book clubs and an in-depth study guide for Bible studies. Oh, and finally, if you're a Pinterest person, you gotta hop on Pinterest.com/Liz Curtis Higgs to look at Sarah's citrus orange Pinterest board. Because she's so tart and sweet at the same time. Oh, trust me, it's delicious. Now, back to our juicy story. Pharaoh summoned Abram. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Genesis 12:19. Oh, he wasn't kidding. Get out of here. So Abram made haste with a military escort, taking him to the border because Pharaoh wanted this man and his wife gone. So now we move ahead a few chapters in Genesis, and there's still a problem yet to be solved. Genesis 16:1 tells us, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. We know this. She's now 75 years old, and she is running out of options. But, the verse continues. Ooh, you got to be so careful with that word, but. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named, you got it, Hagar. But how many times have we justified wrong behavior, you and I, with the word but? Oh, but, right? Yeah. That's what Sarai did. She said, but my husband must have a son. Can't you hear her saying that? Or, but I'm too old to be a mother. But I have this slave girl. Perhaps those were some of the things that ran through her mind. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. It's an interesting statement. It almost sounds like she's blaming God, but she is not. She is acknowledging his sovereignty. and see, at this point, if Sarah had called to God for strength or prayed to God for direction or pleaded with God to open her womb, we would say, hooray for Sarai. Oh, but instead she said, go sleep with my maidservant, Genesis 16:2. Oh, my goodness. I know this sounds outrageous. Like, where did you come up with this idea? But it actually was the law of the land around 1900 B.C. If a wife was not able to give birth after 2 years of marriage, and of course they'd had many more than that, she could purchase a slave to give to her husband to bear their children. So that was the law of the land. But friends, it wasn't the law of God. Perhaps I can build a family through her, Sarai tells herself. And of course, we totally empathize with her desire to have a child. But if only she turned to God instead of seeking a human solution. Now, she's told Abram what to do, but surely this godly man, this man of faith, surely he protested. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Well, he didn't protest, at least not, it's not recorded in Scripture. He slept with Hagar. Oh, I really don't want to picture this. We're talking about an 85-year-old man and a woman young enough to be his great-granddaughter. Oh, draw the tent curtains, please. And thankfully, the Scripture does, because in the same, very same verse, Hagar conceived. All in Genesis 16:4. You know, the rabbis of old say that happening the very first night was a mercy to Hagar. And still in the same verse, when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Also translated, she looked down on her. She treated her badly. She was hateful to Sarai. Oh, we have seen how ugly women can be to each other. Yes, absolutely. Mean girls, in Canaan. Sarai demanded that Abram do something, and what he did... No fool, this man. He put Hagar back in Sarai's hands, so Hagar was reduced to being a slave again. You see, for a little stretch there, she was actually Abram's second wife after Sarai, but now, nope, now she's a slave once more. And Abram says, do with her whatever you think best. Well, what Sarai thought was best, unfortunately, was not good. Genesis 16:6 continues, Sarai mistreated Hagar. Oh, that's too soft a word, because the Hebrew literally means she applied force. She treated her with violence. So, in other words, Sarai abused Hagar. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to think that about Sarah. I get it. But there it is in the Scripture. She mistreated Hagar. And you know it had to be bad, because Hagar ignored the law of the land and ran away from her mistress. Genesis 16:6 says she fled from her. Believe me, a raised eyebrow would not have sent this woman running. It had to be serious. And we will save the rest of Hagar's dramatic story for next weekend's show. For now, I want to leap forward in time to when God appeared to Abram and changed his name to Abraham. And at the same time, he changed his wife's name too. Genesis 17:15 says, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. And you're thinking, what is the big deal about an I to an H? It made her name sacramental and covenantal. It was important. Changed Abraham, now Sarah. And here comes this big news in Genesis 17:16. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. Whew, can anybody say, finally, Sarai is going to have a baby of her own. Now, I wish I could tell you that Abraham was beside himself with joy and wept with gratitude and ran to tell Sarai the news. But the truth is, he fell down laughing. No, he really did. Genesis 17:17 says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed. His wife was going to have a child at 90? That's ridiculous. Then God said, yes, but, oh, so important, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. Do you see anything that leaves this as a not happening possibility? No, no, it's going to happen. You will, it'll happen. We always think of the reasons why something is impossible, but God says, Yes, but. So, do you think Abraham told Sarah at this point what was going to happen? Honestly, after all these years and all these promises and, oh man, I think he just pondered them in his heart. But of course, Sarah finds out soon enough. When Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent, he looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. We're in Genesis 18:2 now, and this is the Lord, by the way, with two angels. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. See how clear he is? Sarah, your wife, not some other Sarah, and not some other wife. Now, Sarah, now always means a turn in the story. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Can't you picture her there? She's out of sight, but well within earshot. At this point in the story, the biblical narrator reminds us, Sarah was past the age of childbearing, Genesis 18:11. So she's not just barren. She doesn't just not have kids. It has ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So she is postmenopausal. Conception wouldn't just be difficult. It would be what? Right. Impossible. Sarah, your wife, will have a son. What a joke. So Sarah laughed to herself, Genesis 18:12. I think she showed great restraint, not bursting into tears. I mean, it's one thing for Abe to sire a son at 100, but it's another thing entirely for an almost 90-year-old woman to carry a child for 9 months and then live through childbirth. Sarah laughed, dismissing God's promise, and she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Well, let's face it, it is kind of laughable. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Well, now that had to freak her out because she laughed to herself. These were only thoughts that she had, but God, of course, knows our thoughts. And God makes it clear he's going to deliver on this promise. He says to her, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, he may have said it to Abraham, but you can know that Sarah heard it. He's not criticizing her lack of faith. He's just reminding her of his power. God is going to bless Sarah no matter how much she laughed. When she realized who was speaking, the Bible says Sarah was afraid. I'm trembling right along with her. I mean, she laughed at the Lord. She mocked his promises. She dismissed his power. At this point, she probably should have stepped forward, confessed her flagging faith, but she is a slightly bad girl, remember? So she lied and said, I did not laugh, Genesis 18:15. Here's the thing. God did not punish her for laughing or for lying, but he also didn't let her get away with either one. He said, yes, you did laugh. God always has the last word, doesn't he? But here's the thing. He still blessed her. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised, Genesis 21:1, not because of her goodness, but because of his goodness and his faithfulness. He honored his promise. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Well, of course he did. Simple statement, but the fulfillment of a promise. Genesis 21:6, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. It's doubly true. Because she's given birth to a son named Isaac, and Isaac means laughter. But even more than that, I think joy has been restored to Sarah's weary soul. I've always pictured Sarah waving her AARP card in one hand and her son's pacifier in the other, saying, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. And Sarah's story proves that to us. Also proving that a slightly bad girl can have a very happy ending. Now there's much more to tell with Hagar. We need to visit with Hagar, see how her story unfolded. It's pretty amazing. And God met her as well. Honored her as well, gave her promises, and fulfilled them as well. Well, you've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Hope you listen again on the podcast, on myfaithradio.com, or on LizCurtisHiggs.com. There's a Bible study guide in both those locations for this show. I prepared it just for you. And I hope you'll take time to go ahead and print it off. Take time to answer them. Look at the other scriptures. Because the whole goal of studying the Bible isn't to just listen to it, but also to take it in. To let it work on us. To let it change us. It took Sarah 90 years to have her deepest dream come true. God said he would do it, and he did. Oh, Heavenly Father, I don't know if any of us have the kind of patience that Sarah did to wait all those years. Father, build that patience in us, that faith in us. Help us hang on. Help us not lose heart or lose hope. Because you assure us again and again in your word, nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.